Okay.
It always makes you cry.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 22 of the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hello, everybody. We hope that you are recovering post-Onyx storm, if you guys have listened. I am recovering, but I'm good.
I'm still just living over here and no clue what's going on in, like, Onyx Stormland. Ooh. And I haven't seen any spoilers either. So
that is a huge win.
If I even just see it, I just scroll away and I avert my eyes. Should. Yes.
If you guys are new here, I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt. And we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other.
Woohoo! And we are all about the hockey wrecks today.
Hockey.
I love hockey in real life. I love hockey in romance book form. So I feel like this is a great... I'm surprised it kind of took us this long. I mean, I know we haven't been around that long, but... I'm kind of shocked we didn't pull it out sooner, but...
We've read quite a few hockey books.
Especially between the two of us. Yes. I feel like we really...
Hockey was one of the first things that I went into, like, after I started in the contemporary, and I did, like, my little, like, motorcycle mafia, and, like, then I went hardcore hockey.
Yeah, you did. You went hardcore. And I feel like stayed away from it for a long time because I was worried that because I know and like hockey so much in the real world that it would... drive me crazy in book world, but I just fell more in love. Now I just wish that this happened with the real people on ice.
Yes. And I understand hockey. Like, my father taught me the rules when I would watch with him, like, growing up. So, like, I understand the game of hockey, but I'm, like, not a diehard hockey fan in real life.
I only know hockey because of Mr. Smut Daddy. I had not known anything about it until, we've only been together like 10 years. So, like, it's been a long time, but I had no idea. And then he was like, we're going to go to a hockey game. And I was like, okay, like, I love you. I'm falling in love with you. Like, of course I'll go to a hockey game. And then we went and I was like, wait a minute. I think I finally found a sport that I, like, really enjoy because I'm not a football girl. And I mean, like, I played softball growing up, but, you know, like, baseball games are long and
drawn out.
Hockey's quick. And they're all giant men and fighting, and they're all hot and Russian, and I'm really here for it. But before then, we are going to do our weekly recap, getting back into a little bit of routine of what we've been reading, what's been on our minds. So do you want to start off?
Sure. I did have a couple of rougher arcs to start my month, but then we had a wonderful arc with The Puck Chase by G.N. Wright, the third book and in her Fairfield U hockey series, which is right over here. We will get to that more in a moment.
MM,
yes. I don't even know how to explain it. It was so good. It was...
I can't wait.
It was one of the best books I've ever read, and it had the bioawakening piece to it. Like, they're teammates, but they're rivals, so it gave you that tension and enemies to lovers, but their meet cute is memorable.
I can't wait.
And it spans over years, and so, like, there's been this thing between Damon and Archer for years, and to see it come to fruition was just beautiful, and you are going to love it.
When I got your text and you were like, you are going to eat this up, I was like, that is a winner, folks. That is a winner for me.
It is. I was like, so we're in January, and this is for sure my favorite read of January, but now I'm slightly concerned that it's my favorite book of the whole year.
I know that's a lot to be saying, but
that's how much I loved these two.
And you didn't even pick a title like that until, like, November of last year.
I know, it's setting the bar high, but I really fell hard for those two men. Like,
I really can't wait now.
Their connection, their dynamic, loved them so much. But after that, I was like, with a couple of rough arcs, this great one, I needed just something to make my heart happy. And I've honestly done so many rereads this month.
I'm proud of you.
in audio. And yeah, it's been just what I've needed. It's like a whole brand new experience because it's my first time listening to it on audiobook. So I did listen to His Greatest Muse when it came out on release day. On the 14th, so that was great. Noah and Tiny in my ears were everything I had hoped for. The narrators, both the male and the female, Aiden and Lucy, they did such a good job. It was just, it was perfect. And so I'm excited for you to have time to get to them.
I know.
Now that it's out on audio.
I pre-ordered it with the credit.
Oh, nice.
So love I am it, excited. It. I just got to get to it.
And then I did do the first time one of my, we're going to talk about this one again too, you guys, Rules of Our Own by Jay Wilder. I did do that. It was my first time going back to my favorite thruple in audiobook formatting. And again, just what I needed. I loved doing that revisit. And then I also did Strong and Wild. Mm-hmm. That's also over here. So like I am, this is like perfect timing. It was my
For
first time listening
all your
to
listens.
Reese and Freya on audiobook. And they were my favorite of the series too. So those three audiobooks really kind of gave me life and comfort. And so I was just happy. And then lastly, I did Sweet Girl Arc, Jen Plummer's yes. Valentine's Day novella that's coming out, part of her Aspen Ridge spinoff-ish thing. With the
so good
fun. And that was why choose that was yeah. with Emma and her men Dom, Aiden, and Cruz. So I really enjoyed that, and now I'm in the midst of a beta, so that's where I am at reading wise. Yeah, what about you, Lib?
I read Onyx Storm in 24 hours and it was
impressive.
Fantastic. I think if you guys caught our recap, I have my own tradition of just like staying up all night, and my husband is very nice, Mr. Smut Daddy. He stays home the next day so that he can watch our child and I can binge out. And so I did that. Plus, I haven't been feeling good. So it was nice to be in like something that took my mind off of it.
Yes.
So no spoilers except that it was fantastic. Like I absolutely loved it, ate it up. I can't wait to get like a month or two removed from it so I can go back and do like my first reread or re-listen because I did an immersion read with it. But so good. 10 out of 10. Recommend. Then directly after Onyx Storm, I went into Sovereign by, I don't want to say her name wrong, but Raya Morris Edwards. Raya Morris
Edwards. I'd say Raya.
Edwards? Yeah.
I don't know.
That could dark go either Western way. Cowboy, spicy, but like there's this underlying mystery going on and all of this rival ranch hatred, like Wild Wild West style, like bang, bang, shoot 'em up. It was so good. Like after going from dragons, but then to like spicy cowboys, holy bananas. And it was an age gap. I mean,
ooh,
she was 21, but he was in his almost 40, and it didn't bother me. I loved it, ate it up.
Love that. I was going to say, it's been on my TBR for yeah. a while, so now you're making me yes, really want to move that baby up.
Very possessive. I loved it. I'm going to dive into Weston, which is book two, and then she so graciously blessed me with Deacon, who is book three, and that is coming in March, and I know that that man will be my favorite, so I'm excited to keep going. I obviously can't give any spoilers when I get to Deacon, but I'll tell you guys that'll be the best one. I just know it in my heart. What else
I love
I
it when you know that you're gonna I be
always,
able to see
I always
your
pick
favorite.
One out. Like I feel yes. like authors should know better than to put a character on the page even for 10 seconds and not have Father Lib pick them out. Like that's literally what happened with JP King. Like because Just Like That came out, which I loved his filthy mouth, but that's what happened with him, is she dropped him like random name on page whatever in book one and then was like, I don't think he's ever gonna have a book. Wrong
You're, answer.
You are truly wrong about that, lady, because he's my favorite. So finally getting to him, that was good. But I am very excited for Deacon. I need Deacon in my life. Besides that, I've just been doing some like content pool work and stuff for Elliot as always, but I've been very happy with my reads as of since Onyx Storm. I've been good with my reads. I haven't done any rereads yet except Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, which does count towards one of my goals.
Yes, I saw LA asked on her stories the other day if rereads counted, and I was yes. like, yes,
rereads count.
No.
Yeah, that's
They're
crazy.
Wrong.
Yeah, they are wrong, and part of my goal for this year was to reread. So we were chatting before, and I said I hadn't, but I had. have, I reread Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, and that fucking counts.
It does.
Counts. So I'm hoping, like, February might be a little crazy, but then I'm really toning down, like, my, like, some of the author work that I'm doing for March and April. So I'm going to be going heavy on rereads, but also there's just a lot of good fantasy coming out. I know we talked about how I'm moving into fantasy land, but like I'm running out of time, I feel like, already for everything I want to do this year, and it's only January.
Did you ever get to AL's?
Which one?
Her one that just came out, her fantasy, AL Jackson.
Oh,
I'm
no.
blanking on the name now.
Visions of Darkness. Yes, sorry. I was like AL.
Jackson Aria. I can.
I know. I'm literally. I've been calling her.
Book title.
I've been calling her Amy on accident. No, but I'm. But I was on like AL. No, and I want to so bad because everyone says it's incredible.
The edits were gorgeous for what I saw. Yes. So I'm like, okay, you guys, you did your job well, and I want to get to it. I just don't know when.
Yes, I pre-ordered it on audio. Like, I have all these books that are coming in on audio, and I need to get to them. But then she has like Underneath the Moon, or you know, what I mean? That's coming next. So.
An Endless Moon, Under the Endless Moon, something like that.
Yeah. With the blue cover this time. So, yeah, I need to read faster, but I'm like I am sticking to my goal of slowing down. But now I'm stressing because there's so many books that I want to read that I'm like, do I speed back up? But I'm also 20 weeks pregnant and tired and life is crazy. So that's where
we're actually
at,
been
folks.
Like not slowing down as much as I wanted to. And part of it is because people keep creating bingo card games, and I'm a very competitive person. So I'm like, I got to read this type of book to get that. Or like, oh, I got to read this to get that.
Oh, are you doing the bingo card games?
I am doing a few of them. Yeah, but I'm just keeping track of them, and then I'm posting it once. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm lazy. I'm not posting every single
I haven't done any bingo card games or literally anything. I did the trend that's going around that we both did.
Yes.
The vibes I bring to the function. And everyone was like, that is very Libby Coded. And I was like, thank you. I'm not doing another trend, another graphic for probably a long time now. So I hope you guys enjoyed me jumping on the bandwagon. Because I also feel like we never really do the trends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to skip it. I was not going to do it. And then I just kept seeing them and seeing them and seeing them. I was like,
and then I tagged you in it. And I was like,
you did.
You're probably going to have to do it.
Okay, fine, you guys. And I had so much fun doing it.
It was kind of stressed
needing
me out,
a break
though.
From reading. So I was excited to like jump into that on Wednesday night or Thursday night, whenever I did it. Thursday night, I think
enjoyed
I did it.
Making it, but my brain hated me trying to plan it. Like, I would fully be lying to you if I said Mr. Smut Daddy didn't tell me almost everything to put on that edit, because my pregnancy brain was like, you don't like anything. You don't like anything. You don't remember anything. I was just like, Twilight? And he's like, you can't put Twilight on there 100 times. I'm like, okay.
I know. I got mad towards the end, though. I had a couple of more things that I wanted to add, but there was nowhere to really put it or layer it. And I wasn't going to bump anything. So I was like, just call it Brittany. It is fine.
I also really like that, like, obviously it's to the individual, like, bookstagrammer, but everyone's like, type of collage was like different, but still exactly how I thought it would be to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, ours were still really different the way we like layered and did stuff. And I was just like, but that is exactly us. I don't know. It was a fun one. And I'm glad that like a lot of people jumped on it. You know how like sometimes it's like half and half.
I feel like the last really big trend like that was the one where we all spelled our handles with the letters with the book titles.
Yeah. And I didn't do that one. I don't normally.
You planned on doing it though, didn't
I
you?
I know.
You
I think it's probably in Canva
probably
with my other
folder.
400 Canva edits. If people looked at my Canva, they'd be like, girl, you need to finish one of these.
What you doing over there?
But reading, that's my problem, is I just like get too involved with like reading and then doing a craft when I could just be like reading as in an audiobook and doing a Canva edit, but I'm not.
Nope.
And then I started making like all the edits working for authors, which I love. But then I feel like it takes all my creativity out of my brain when it comes time to like doing an edit for myself. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's why I was really proud of myself. I was like, you did the damn trend on time, girl. You did it on time. You weren't behind.
You were one of the first ones, I feel like.
Woo, it's because I saw it on TikTok. I think it started on TikTok. So like when it got banned, then came back, everyone was like, these are the vibes I bring to the function. Like all the Bookstagram, like book talk girlies. And I was like, I could do that. And then a couple of my friends tagged me in it, and I was like, I can do this. Then I pulled Mr. Smut Daddy over and I was like, we can do this. I should just start collabing with him on everything I do because he's behind a lot of it.
Yeah, I kept thinking like, okay, if I can think of enough things, like I'll do it.
Once you start going, yeah.
And then I was at work and I would just like put in my notes app real quick. And then I would go back to it and like something else would pop it. And I was like, okay, just do it, Brittany. Like everyone was like, someone asked me like, well, did you have a plan? And I was like, nope.
No.
Had zero plan. I just started Googling things and making stickers and copying and pasting and just kind of went on. Yeah. I had zero.
Also, Canva has a good, like, they have a good selection of like their like stickers and stuff too. So that was helpful to like, if you couldn't find it or you wanted to Google something
if
big.
If you're a Canva pro, yes.
Oh.
Me still in freeland.
I'm a Canva pro. I wouldn't survive without Canva pro. That's why I can have 400 unfinished edits is because of all the space they give you for Canva pro.
Let me tell you, I have started a new edit for something that I want to do with MMCs and having the same name in the book and the tropes that go with them. And I don't know how I didn't see this lib when I was in Canva, but I was looking for an arrow and there was a special box about like, try this arrow. And I was like, that's the arrow that's in my brain. So I clicked
and it
that
was
arrow
pro.
And it's pro, but it let me do it. Like, it's let me do it. Like, it let me do my whole edit. But when I went to go download it, it was like, oh, you're using something. Fuck you, Canva. Why did you let me click it in the first place? Because then I went back to try and find an arrow that looks similar. And guess what?
Nope.
No arrow can compare to this one.
If there's one thing I'll tell anyone to pay for, if you're like in this world, it's Canva. Like, you don't need CapCut or any of that shit. Figure it out in Instagram or TikTok if you want to edit that way. But I don't think I'd make it without Canva Pro. Truly.
I'm really kind of like kicking myself because I feel like they had a deal right before Christmas for like,
I might be able to see if there's like a referral code.
Something free. And now it's only like 14 and I was like, ugh.
I know it is a little, I mean, it's like the same price as like an Audible subscription a month, but I love Canva, but I also use it every day. Even if it's not for me, I feel like I'm in there for authors or someone, you know what I mean? So gotta love Canva.
Canva tangent for you guys.
Wish I could send you the arrow. I would. I wish you could like send someone, like someone sent you a Canva gift and it's like a fucking arrow.
Yes, that would be lovely because I'm about to pay $15 a month for a fucking arrow.
The possibilities are limitless then once you get to all the everything that it offers. I'm always finding new crap on there. Canva tangent.
Serious. I'll be a Canva pro person before the month's over.
Absolutely, you will. At least by next month. Valentine's Day is going to roll around and you're like, fuck it. Okay, we are going to truly rapid fire hockey recs at you guys. Sometimes our rapid fires could go long and on tangents.
Just a little.
But my brain isn't working fully. I'm fully in toddler mom pregnancy brain era. So what you get out of my mouth is all you're getting from me. But I loved everything I read though. That's why it's on this list. And Britt didn't write anything down.
I wrote nothing.
So she's just winging it.
I am still parenting it this weekend, you guys. There's a way, Mr. F plus W, he's on a guy's trip that is well deserved. He has needed this weekend and he does so much around this place. But like, I am like,
my brain would be malfunctioning.
Just trying to survive. So
you could have texted him and like, we need to skip next week. And I would have been like, that's fine. I completely understand. Like,
we'll make it through. You guys, we'll struggle through this. It'll be fine.
It'll be all good. Okay, you want to go first?
Sure. First one is Vital Blindside by my girl Hannah Cowan. This is in her first trilogy. This is the third book in the trilogy. And what's fun about this one is it is the FMC that is the hockey player.
Oh, that is fun.
Yes. The MMC did play in college, but he's no longer playing hockey, but he opened up a center where people can come and train and learn. Kids can play and all that sort of stuff. And she gets injured and she comes to work at his hockey center. Wit is the name of it. And he is a single dad. And Cooper is just the sweetest. And there is this part at the end that always makes me cry. This sweet moment between Cooper and Scarlett.
I don't cry that often. I'm like I'm like, I'm crying through the whole book as soon as you said single dad.
So yeah, it was just, it's a fun, cute hockey book. I liked the difference where the FMC was the hockey player. And
yeah, that's fun. You don't see it all the time.
Yeah. Yep. So that's my first hockey rec. Vital Blindside, Hannah Cowan.
Boom. My first one is Man Candy by Vanessa Bale. I think I might have mentioned it before, but this is from the On a Manhunt series. And it's reverse age gap. Lindy is like 34, Dex is 27, and he falls hard. Like, he literally sees her and it's like, I'm in love with her. This is everything. But he's like in his pro hockey stage and she's like, no, you're Mr. like right now, like one night stand, not Mr. forever. She's also super quirky because when she was 13, she made a list of everything she wants in a man and she keeps it under her toaster. And I mean, like, literally like taped under her toaster, and refers to that list a lot throughout the book. It's quite hilarious. This one made me laugh out loud, but it's not like super hockey heavy, but I feel like as a good quick read, if you want to know if you like might want to dabble more into hockey, it's a good one. It's hilarious. Like, that's my biggest takeaway from it is laugh out loud funny. I love the whole On a Manhunt series, but this one is really good. Plus reverse age gap. I don't feel like we get those enough.
No, we need more of those. I love them.
And Vanessa did a great job with it, like making him, like, obviously he's an adult. I mean, he is. He's 27, but making it known in her eyes, like, you are a little baby and I'm looking for forever. And he's like, no, like, I'm ready for forever. And so it's a lot of back and forth, but no, like, crazy third act breakup or anything, but more like funny banter instead of like asshole banter. You know what I mean? Like, love it. 10 out of 10 recommend Man Candy, Vanessa Bale. The whole series, honestly. They're not all hockey, but I definitely recommend the On a Manhunt series. I think I bring it up a lot because I want more people to talk about it.
Heck yeah.
Number two.
Number two is Shut Out by Avery Keelan. It is book two. I forget what this series is called. Rules of the Game series right there on the front.
Yeah.
Offsides is book one, but Shut Out is book two with Tyler, who is the goalie.
Oh.
Sometimes I feel like we don't get enough goalie MMCs, and so I agree. Like the goalie MMC. But he hooks up with Sarah on Halloween, and she was dressed as Tink, so that's what he calls her. I love that nickname.
Cute.
Tink. But they hook up in a bathroom on Halloween without knowing that she is his teammate's sister. And
I think that's why I like hockey so much, for a quick introduction, is when we found out last year that I'm a fiend for Brother's Best Friend.
Yeah.
That kind of shows up a lot in hockey books. And I'm just like, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Brother's best friend, brother's teammate. You know, it's always something like that.
It's always something. It always works. It always hits. Well, then turns out that Sarah needs a place to stay. So she moves in with her brother and the hockey guys. And they find each other in the house, and they're like, haven't seen each other since their one night stand. And they're like,
Tinkerbell.
Hades, Tink, what's going on? And so it's some forced proximity. It's so funny. He's kind of broody. She's quirky. She's got ADHD rep in there. And she also is kind of going through a health crisis of figuring out if she wants to do some testing based on her mother's diagnoses that she had. So there is some heavier topics in this one, but it's done so well. Avery did a really good job with this one, and they're super cute. I loved them. So
is there a third one in that series that's out?
It's supposed to be coming out.
That's what I thought. It's coming out, right?
It's coming out. Yes. I'm not sure when, though. I think there's been some dates.
Yeah, I think it got delayed or something because of stuff.
Well, but... and then there's a second gen one, too.
Yes, that's also what I think I'm thinking about.
That's what I'm thinking about. But then there is, yes, I believe a third book planned for this one as well. But I think it's after the second gen. I think anyway. Don't quote me on that, you guys, but Offside and Shut Out are good. What do you got?
The Newspaper Nanny by Maren Moore is super quick, like rom-com-esque read. Single dad of two little girls, and he needs a nanny because his hockey schedule is getting out of control. But he's also like a super big grump. He's just a total asshole. So this is a grumpy sunshine. Liam and Juliet. So he puts an ad out in the newspaper. She needs a job. And then when he shows up, he's like, wow, you're like smoking hot. Like, pretty much it's like, you're smoking hot. He's a hot dad. They're trying to keep it like professional. Like, no, like, I don't want to be a stereotypical like man that falls for his nanny, but he does. He falls hard, especially when there's two hot people living under the same roof. This one is a really quick read. I did it on audio. I swear it was like 3 hours. I know I listened to him fast, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just quick, but it was really funny. I really liked it. There's a little bit of like third act tension, but it's nothing like crazy, nothing that anyone would like hate or be like, oh no, not a third act breakup. But I really liked it. I really like Maren Moore's writing. I feel like everything I pick up by her, I really enjoy. And but this one always sticks out because
she has a baseball series too, right? Is that yes, the right like Maren that I'm thinking of?
Yep, like Home Run Proposals with the red cover. Yeah.
Yes, I haven't read those yet, but on my radar.
Those are on my radar as well. But
her in general,
the best part,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. The best one like of this is like the little girls. They are hysterical. Like truly, I feel like she nailed children and their unfiltered mouths. Like where they just say whatever comes to their mind and it translates so well like on page. So
I love that. It makes me think of Ignite. Those yes, little girls with Dex
Ignite
and Whitney.
Or like honestly The Invitation where she's like in love with Dolly Parton and everything. Yes. It's so good. I really like it. If you want a quick read that's funny, like the more Hallmark, like rom-com-esque, but still spicy. The spicy chapters hit. The Newspaper Nanny by Maren Moore. Love it, love it, love it. I also just love a grump. Like hockey players that are assholes. Like that makes sense to me in my brain. That one was good.
Fits next. The mold. All right. The next I'm doing a 3-for-1.
Yes.
With Gian Wright's Fairfield View series. Book one is The Puck Secret. Book two is The Puck Decoy. And book three that just came out that I mentioned earlier is The Puck Chase.
I love the covers.
They're so pretty. I love the colors. Even our rainbows, we love them. But The Puck Secret you start out with is enemies to lovers, a secret relationship texting thing going on. Every single book has truth or dare in it. It's so good.
So good.
This is one of those book one not cursed. Like, book one is so good. It's such a strong start to the series. And I think I've mentioned it multiple times when talking about this series, but it is college hockey, but it
doesn't feel college.
Make me feel like I'm super old and they're super young or immature. It's just, it's done super well. And it just so happens they're in college.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of hockey, but they're on the rink. They're at games. They're at practice.
Still counts.
You know, it still counts. The Puck Decoy is childhood best friends to kind of like acquaintances because he pushed her away to lovers. Mm-hmm. Like that transition.
Kind of like a second chance type thing for the friendship to blossom.
With the friendship, yes. And arranged marriage because his dad is an asshole and he's a politician and has a lot of money. And that's kind of the archaic thing to do in that world. And I talked about, because it was one of my favorite reads last year, with Hallie being autistic. And I love that representation. Her and Josh are just so sweet together. So really love that. And then the obviously most recent one is The Puck Chase, which is MM with Archer and Damon, where you get, they are teammates, but they're kind of like rivals and opposites attract. Grumpy Sunshine. It's just,
I'm like, I can't wait for that MM.
So good. So, so good. You guys, I just want to like hug them so much. Like, I could reread this right now. They're just so good. And there's a lot of like deep, meaningful things that happen in this book too. Like, yes, the spice is fucking delicious and you get the bi-awakening and there's so much good stuff with that. But there's also just them being so vulnerable and learning about themselves and each other. And there's a really sweet friendship with Damon and Archer's sister in here. And so it was such a great book. And I want everyone to read it, especially if you're a fan of MM.
I can't wait. I literally can't wait. Good. If You Hate Me by Helena Hunting, that was like a top read for me last year. It like just barely didn't make the top 8 like cut. So good. That is hate, like straight up. I fucking hate you to lovers, which people like to say they do, but like then they're like barely hating each other or like they're barely enemies. No, these two hate each other. Brother's best friend though. Ooh. It's her brother's best friend. So you can't get away from it. And even though they're best friends, like they still, the sister and him still really hate each other. Some things happen. She needs a place to stay. They have an extra bedroom. So she moves in. So then it's absolutely hysterical hate to lovers. Cause I mean, like they really do. They hate each other. They're trying to fuck with each other. Like as in like pranks. And like pulling one over on each other. Cause they
like
are so
funny haha pranks or like
yes no like okay. funny haha pranks. But then it all comes down to one night where they just gotta get it out of their systems, and then a man is obsessed. He is obsessed with her after that night. Rick's Beatrix and Tristan, so good. Truly I think one of my favorite like brother's best friends books. It is so good. And the hate to lovers is done perfectly. Helena then like mixes in like all these funny moments, but the spice is spicing. Like I eat all of her spice up. That one, it's true. The whole series is good, but that's book one, and book one has stuck with me the whole time. And we're on book three now. So if that tells you anything,
that is like saying something.
No book one curse here. This book was incredible. And they're all hockey. This whole series is hockey, but book one is definitely, I think, my favorite. It's so good. I love it. Like I want to read it. It's on my reread list, like immediately as soon as I can, because that's how good the banter and the hate is. Like, it's just like, I don't know what more to tell you guys. You want a real hate to lovers? This is it. She nailed it. I want to reread it like right now. I'm so busy with things, but I want to reread it. There's no time. Okay. What did she got?
We got Play With Me by Becca Mack. It is book two in the Play For Keep series. And I am obsessed with Gare Bear and Jenny.
You really are.
I am. They are one of my, I call them my power couples, where I loved them both equally individually. I love them as a couple. Got brother's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
I told you it has to, it like makes sense for hockey though.
It does.
That's why I don't understand why we didn't pick up on me being obsessed with it sooner.
It truly, yeah, it makes the most sense. And Gare Bear is just so awkward and cute around her at first.
Heavy on the awkward.
Yes, but it's endearing and it works for him. And Jenny's trying to make it in her dance world and be on her own after her childhood and the issues that her and Carter are like struggling with still as adults and trying to manage. And then something that happened to her in high school that's really kind of been traumatic for her. So she's trying to live her life fully, but that's still having a huge effect on her. And Gare Bear is there to help her out. And he is a man who is not afraid to have a toy as a teammate. And we love him.
We love a man that knows that toys are teammates.
Yes, there is no competition when it comes to the box of toys.
I think it immediately makes them hotter.
Yes.
Even if you weren't fully vibing with them for some reason, as soon as they are like toys, I'm like, you just gained one whole star by literally just accepting toys.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's so fun. It's a secret relationship. So then, of course, you know, there's going to be a blow up when the secret is let out. And this is
guess which one's my favorite from the series. Guess which book is my favorite from the series.
I know which one is your favorite. Unravel me.
Everyone's like, what do you mean? And I'm just like, what do you guys mean? People always talk about their redemption arcs in other books. Why can't I love Unravel Me?
It's fine. You can. But we are not letting this pass without calling out Carter baby back bitch Beckett for the way that he treated both Gare Bear and Jenny
when that paper
came out.
I have always accepted that. I've always accepted it from it.
I know.
But I then moved past because what do you want from me?
I don't move past because
what do you want from me? You love Kale and I love Carter. Play With Me is good. I still haven't read Fall With Me though. I haven't either.
He was a dick to Gare Bear and took him off of his line, and then he was so mean to Jenny, ghosted her, and he is this brother that's supposed to be so protective and I love her most of all and I'm gonna be there for her and provide for her and protect her, and like the one thing that he knows is gonna hurt her the most is to like radio silence her. I'm like, you're a dick. What the hell?
He was. I admit that. But if I can love Dean Yenin, I can most certainly love Carter. There's no way around it for me, Britt. You knew it. You knew going in.
We just had to suffer through the worst third act breakup when he could have just went home and told Ollie the truth about what was going on with Courtney and the phone. Like, we go from him being a stupid asshole, lying, and having the worst third act breakup to him being a dick to Gabriel and Jenny. Carter? Carter's on the shit list.
Not mine, folks. Not mine. I do like that whole series, though. I think I read it not like too early, but I was like reading them originally when they were coming out. And then there was a big pause, you know, before the end. So then it like fell off my mind, fell off my radar. Like I have the beautiful purple cover.
I have Fall With Me still.
Fall With Me, but I just haven't.
It's on my 2025. I will read this for sure. It just hasn't happened yet.
Maybe when you read it, I will also
and
pick
I am
it up and
hopeful that
it.
Jackson and Lennon, I think, are those MCs. I'm hoping that I'm going to love them because I loved Adam, but I was not a fan of him and his lies in Unravel Me. I'm not going to lie. So
yeah. I don't know what more you want me to tell you. Everyone knows when they get through that series, they're probably like, this is probably Father Lib's favorite. Correct. You are very much correct on that. But I told you when you were starting it that that would be your favorite. So then I can give myself a pat on the back. Because yes. I know you.
Yeah.
But you also know me. And
I do.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Nope.
Sometimes I hate men. And then sometimes I love the men that everyone else hates. I don't know how
I don't hate Adam. I just didn't appreciate how he wanted to start a committed relationship and thought that being a liar was the way to do that.
Yeah. I guess I overlooked that by the end. my February top read was Holding the Reins last year. And yes. That is my next one. Even though there is almost no hockey, but it still counts because he's a retired NHL Dallas Star. I think that's what they are, the Stars. And then he's turned cowboy. He's going back home to Kentucky and working on Cece's family's ranch, right? Their horse ranch. Go figure, brother's best friend. This was also a debut novel, which I always like to note because when they are just that fucking fantastic.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yes, it's mind-blowing. It needs to be like noted because I feel like don't think, oh, it's a debut, I won't like it. No, everyone should be reading this. But Cece and Nash, I don't even know where to begin with them except they're amazing. I think about the shower scene second, and first is when it came to me like in a dream, and I was like, what do you mean men crawl to women? And I had read it like 3 or 4 times before, but then when I was reading my arc of this, I was like, yeah, hot cowboys crawl to women. And that changed everything for me. Favorite microtrope of all time is when a man gets on his hands and knees and crawls. I don't know what it is. I think it's the like power dynamic switch. Cause then like by the time they get there, they're gonna like take back over control. But I think it's just the fact that these like big strong men are willing, you know, to get down on their hands and knees and pretty much worship their woman for a minute. Oh, Lord. But that was like my epiphany book for it. I had read a couple, like a mafia guy and like one other. But then when I read this one, I stopped everything. And that's when I texted you. And I was like, I don't know what you're doing, but when this book comes out, you're reading this book no matter what. I was pulling my best friend rank card because I knew you would eat it up
and
as well.
It
was so good. And then they just keep getting better and better. But this is also not a book one curse. Holding the Reins is on it's dare I say, I mean, I loved Wade, but there is something about Nash that I can't get over. It has to be the crawling, right? That's what's making me
this is
obsessed.
One of those things where I kind of equate it to Ekitar. So I love like Nash and Cece are my favorite couple, but Wade then, like, is my favorite MMC.
Yes, okay, I can totally get behind that because I mean like Wade Ashby is nothing to scoff at, folks. He's incredible, but there's just something about Nash and Cece where like it always sticks out in my brain. Like I immediately think of
something special about
them. I think of him crawling and then I immediately go to the shower scene, like, and we've read hundreds of shower scenes, but for some reason I think it's just because they were like giggly and like they knew they weren't supposed
to
be
coffee and braiding hair. Those are the first two things that pop into my head about it.
Mine is that shower scene where they like know they shouldn't be in the shower together and they're giggling and like trying to be spicy, but then her brother comes into the house and I'm just like, you guys aren't supposed to be in the shower together. I love it. A great book. Like, we had Paisley on. You guys can go back and hear us giggle all about that and chat with her. But always expect Paisley Rex to come out of our mouths. She is a fantastic writer. And gosh, I can't wait to see what she comes out with, like, with the rest of everything. Riding the High.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Can't wait. Highly recommend. Plus, Cocky and Cowboy was like never really been done before. And
that was a
seamless transition though. So 10 out of 10 from both of us on that one.
Yes.
All right. What you got?
All right. We have Right Man, Right Time by Megan Quinn. And if you're watching this, this cover is one of my favorite
The bodice ripper covers.
That I own because it's a bodice ripper cover and it makes my historical romance heart just happy.
Those are some of my all-time favorite covers. Of any, like, just the type of, like,
a horse, you guys.
It's, for those that are not watching, it is, like, a black horse with a beautiful woman with big old Bridgerton titty dress on that's hot pink, and then a shirtless hockey player and only his pads holding his hockey stick, and honestly, with, like, a rainbow in the background. It's, like, the most out-of-pocket cover, but it's beautiful. That whole line that she dropped of those was gorgeous.
My bank account would only allow me to buy one, and so this is the one I got. But Right Man, Right Time is the third book in her series for hockey. Is it the Vancouver Agitators? Am I remembering the name? Oh, bookmark that just popped out.
Oh, the one on the bottom. That's my favorite book on the bottom. The one where he's with the car. I can't remember the title of it, but that is my favorite. I remember.
I don't think I've read that one, to be honest. But so I saw this coming out and I saw all the hype around it. And so I just jumped right in, not knowing that it was book three in a series. Yeah.
We try not to do that very often, but every once in a while it gets us.
I'm really anti-jumping in. Like, I want to go back to the beginning to pick up on all the times we've seen them before and little things, you know, like, I like those moments. But this one, I'm honestly very glad that I jumped in, because after I read this one, I'll talk about the book in a minute, but after I read this, I did go back and read one and two, and one was fine, but two I was not a fan of at all. So if I would have read them in order, I might have given up, and that would have been really sad, because this book is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, she is a funny writer.
Ollie and Silas are just great. Yes, Megan is so good with the making you laugh while you're reading. But Ollie is in need of someone to help her out when her douchebag ex-boyfriend shows up at the bar. And so she walks up to Silas, not knowing who he is, and says, "You're going to be my boyfriend for a moment." And so he just rolls with it. And that's how they become a fake relationship. And then they have to repeat a story about how they've met to everyone, and it just gets crazier and crazier every time it gets retold about being at the zoo and a donkey and food, and my god, it's so funny. But I loved this book. It was so good. Silas,
it's a good one.
Poor Silas, he was going through a rough time with failed past relationship with a terrible, terrible woman who I'm blanking on her name, but she should be on the list, but I wasn't keeping it at the time when I read it, but I should retroactively put her back on it. But they're so good. I enjoyed them. And then after them was Halsey and Blakely, which I talked about on a previous episode. They are my favorite, but I still have to finish the last one, which is Posey. And I don't know what his FMC's name is, but it's on my 2025. There's a few series that I have, like, what the last book in the series to finish. And I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Sometimes I found for that, because I think in my brain I subconsciously don't want it
to end. You just want it to be over. Yeah.
So then I just don't read it, and then people be like, "Well, have you read that?" And I'm like, "Nope." I read 1 through 5, but not 6.
About Right Man, Right Time, one of my favorite things too with Megan's series and books is they're kind of all connected, so you get to see some of the Cain brothers pop up. So that was always fun, because I had read that series first, so it was nice to see them again.
Love, 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 love. The Fake Out by Stephanie Archer, I think, is my favorite book by Stephanie Archer. It is so good. Fake dating done perfectly, like absolutely perfect, especially because this is between Rory, who is, there's just full of hockey. And that's Rory. And he is fake dating Hazel, who gets a new job as one of the like PT people for his team. Mm. And it's ex's rival. Mm. She is fake dating her ex's rival. The ex gets traded to the team. So then the fake dating really has to amp up, because they're trying to make this like ex jealous and also rival. But it is like swoony. Rory is like swoony, but also gives really good banter like back to her, because he keeps trying to like push the bar, like with their fake, you know, like touchy feely, lots of kisses, like to make the ex jealous. And because he's down bad for Hazel. But what you will love, Britt, is there is constant communication. They may have these like moments where she's like eye twitching because like she doesn't want to like be all over him and all this stuff, like because she's trying not to like let the boundaries actually cross, even though, come on, we all know they will. But then crossing. Like as soon as something, you know, like the ex leaves the room or whatever, they are talking. Like it might still be like kind of bantery because Rory thinks it's hilarious, but there's always communication all the way through, constant,
right up my alley. I love it. I and do want to read them so bad.
It's so good. I love, like, truly love Stephanie Archer. Everything I read from her, like the Queen's Cove series and all of her standalones, they have been fantastic, but this is by far my all-time favorite book by her. It is some of the best fake dating. I think it's because it's just the way that they go about it, like to make the ex
and
jealous.
And that's saying something because you love
fake
dating.
That's one of my top three, yeah. If not my absolute top favorite trope of, you know, fake relationship. So good. Like, truly so good. It's on my reread list for this year. Like, when I was making some of my things, I was like, I will hit this one.
Now, is that a book two?
Again. Yes. Behind the Net is book one, and that was good. But, like, for me, it was, like, a 4-star. And this is, like, this is the end-all be-all for Stephanie. And I didn't know that that was book one at first. I thought this was a standalone. So I read this first.
Oh, okay.
Then went back on accident because I, like, didn't know. This book is fantastic.
Do you think that played a role in why you
probably
him, what
well
you did?
I just think that I wanted a little bit like more. It wasn't like it was bad writing at all. I just was like, you know, like that was good. 4 stars. But then like by like chapter 3 of the fake out, I was like, this is 5 stars, everything. I'm obsessed, like probably because of the fake dating. And so it's so good. And it is a lot of hockey. Like he's on the ice, like trying to figure it out with this rival that he hates. And since she works for the team as one of the PT specialists, he gets a lot of rub downs because he's always like, oh, I'm tight. It's so good. It is hilarious. I like, truly, you'll love it. You will eat it up. It, like, without a doubt, so good. Everyone needs to read it, even if you want to skip book one. I don't say that very lightly, but it was that good. I'm like, just go right into it.
Do it.
What you got?
We got my favorite throuple that I've talked about a few times earlier. River. I got the man cover out because he's just so yummy. Rules of Our Own by Jay Wilder. It is book 3 in the trilogy. We got Alex, River, and Mia. Their meet cute was back in book 1 in rule number 5 when they were in college. Both the boys liked Mia, and at that time there was no even thought. No even, we're going to share this girl. Nope, they were both gonna go for her, and Alex was gonna kiss her on the dance floor, and River comes up and punches him in the face, and Mia's like, and I'm out. I am not going to come between two best friends. So right. She just removes herself from the situation and ghosts them, essentially.
Which I respect her for that.
Yeah, I do too. And so then here we are 3 years later at Piper and Lucas's wedding, and magically there's only one place for her to stay, and it's
imagine
in a bungalow with
that.
Alex and River. I mean, the whole other, everything else is booked at the resort. There's just nowhere else for
There's just nowhere
Mia
else, not
stay.
Even a couch. Anywhere yeah. else in any other room.
Nope. So they decide to have a little fun while they're in Napa, but the boys are still hockey players. They play for the Boston Bruins, but she lives in Canada still. So there's like no chance of anything going beyond the weekend, but they decide to have their fun. But then the boys realize that there's more to them all together.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it. And so they end up showing up. She's going through a rough time with a psycho ex-boyfriend, causing problems with stalking her and causing Oof. Problems at work because his dad is in charge of the hospital, and he's just this like
freaking weirdo loser, yeah,
rich kid that gets whatever he wants. And he was trying to like teach Mia a lesson by breaking up with her. It's just psycho behavior.
Loser.
But the boys can tell that something's going on and wrong, and they fly to Ottawa to figure out what it is, and they show up just in time. And so they take Mia back to Boston because she
Delicious.
Ends up losing her job because of the douchebag ex-boyfriend. Mm. And this is one of those things where like they go back to Boston, and like you get to see them with, this is where we get to see Damon and Misty from Attempting Arrangement. We start
yeah.
to see them more. Misty went to college with him, so that's not random, but Damon owns the Boston Bruins, so that's kind of where this segue, that spinoff goes to. But we see no hockey in this book, you guys. I'm just going to be like full disclosure. There is zero hockey going on in this book, which is nothing against Jessa because she is very knowledgeable about hockey. She lives in Canada. Her children play hockey.
She like literally has to know it. Families,
that billet family where you have like kids come and stay with you, like she does that. She has the knowledge to write the hockey, but
it was just a stepping stone to get to a little bit more of the hockey.
Right. But then you get a bi-awakening journey with Alex figuring out that he has feelings for his best friend, River. And you have River, who's already been out and bi and, like, realizing that, yes, he's got feelings for his best friend. But Mia's there, and she's, like, cheering them along, like, being like, you guys need to do what you need to do. Like, I am here, and I want us all to be happy. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to have happen, too. A cat. I just did this reread, so I forgot about Crookshanks. Mia's cat is
in this one. I love when they throw a little kitty cat in there.
I do too. And you got River taking her to, again, details that I forgot about, Shibari lessons. With the ropes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much to this. I love them. I do have to shout out Claire's reads. Claire Bear just went through the I love Claire too. She went through the whole series for me. And she was like, Britt, when she got to this one, she's like, why aren't more people talking about this? I'm like, I don't know, Claire. Help me out.
That's why we scream about it on the podcast.
And so I was glad that I did a re-listen this month to start the year. They made me happy. They made me really happy. So
love it. Speaking of stalking.
Where are we going?
We're going to take a little bit of a darker turn here, folks. One of my all-time favorite bully, it's definitely a bully romance, but it's also morally gray and dark, is Devious Obsession by S. Massery.
This series is
holy.
It's on that dreaded TBR list, but it is there. Oh my gosh. It's
like, been there. Holy yummiest. This is the end all be all. Aspen and Steel motherfucking O'Brien.
See, I know that.
My
name.
Gosh. Yeah. Like, Steel O'Brien is literally everything. Also psychotic, but in like the fun, hot way. Like, is red flags or green flags? They have a one night stand, and he becomes absolutely unhinged, feral obsessed. Like, when people are like, boy obsessed. No. Like, this is a man that is obsessed. First of all, you do get hockey because this is college, but you'll never for one minute think it's college because of how fucking crazy it is. But you get a cat and mouse, a lot of cat and mouse play here. And Steel decides that if Aspen isn't going to like be with him and let him be obsessed, then he is going to bully her, bully romance her until like she literally cracks and breaks and starts to fall apart so that she has nowhere else to turn except to him. And you guys might be thinking, that's terrible. It's not. It's super hot. This is the best book from the whole series. It's incredible. Like, the whole series is great, but there's nothing like Steel O'Brien. And I'm just going to say, because I've already told Britt and she's still going to read it. So if you don't want any spoilers, turn your little earbuds off, but this man is so fucking unhinged that he drugs her and gives her a permanent tattoo that says property of O'Brien. Any guesses of where it's at, folks? You will never guess because it's on her hoo-ha. He literally tattoos property of Steel O'Brien on her hoo-ha. And you might be thinking, that's terrible. She loves it. She literally loves it. She thinks that she hates it. Then she loves it. All this other shit's going around too. And then you realize, wow, he like really is obsessed because he's like tracking her, like literally with the microchip underneath her skin. Like, this guy is obsessed. It is. I remember reading this. And because the first one's like a little, like, it's like a little dark. Like, this hockey team obviously has some problems. And then you get to Steel and you're like, this team clearly has some morally gray problems. But I love it.
The microchip is just for her safety, you guys.
And it literally comes into play like she needs to be saved. It's so good. Like, I've talked about it a long time, years with Britt. I'm like, this is a fantastic book. Because I don't read that much dark. I like bully romances. And boy, this is, when I was thinking about it, I was like, this is public humiliation, bullying. But it's so good. You never think like you're in college. Like that doesn't take it away from it. It actually plays a big part in it. So the whole series is great. But Devious Obsession, my man, there's something about these, like there's these random men that are terrible. And I'm like, no, he's perfect. Like in this series, he's Dean Yinnan. You know what I mean? Like everyone loves him. You're going to love it. You're going to eat the whole series up, I think.
I'm going to have time to like just go.
Yeah, do all of them. Yes. Yeah. And they all are like an obsession. You know what I mean? Like something obsession, devious obsession. So good. Highly, highly, highly recommend. That's also on my reread. And I even put just book three if I have to, because like that's how much I need Steele O'Brien in my life.
Love it.
What you got?
And now we have Strong and Wild by Sloane St. James. It is book two of the Lakes hockey series. And this very is one good. Of the, I think I got it from Barnes & Noble, one of the...
Oh, the all black ones.
All black ones, yes. She was handy, so I grabbed her. But this is with Reese and Freya. My brain cannot think of her as Mickey.
Yeah. It is hard to like switch it back.
Yeah, because we meet her in book one and she's introduced as Mickey, which is a play on her last name, McCoy. But then Reese calls her Freya a lot once they get past their secret relationship.
I'm like, hidden once they identity. Get past their troubles.
Yes, because they meet, but they don't know that they've met on an app. And one of them figures out who the other is before the other and doesn't disclose this information until it's a little too late. And then once the information comes out, there's a blow up, you guys.
This is a series that we've both all read, the whole thing.
Yes. But this
is not my favorite, though.
I love this one.
I know this is your favorite, but also your least favorite is my favorite, which isn't that far for the course for us.
It is very far for the course. I could rage right now about In the Game.
Wow, In the Game was great.
But we're going to stay positive and but only their talk book about
is, no, Reese their book Freya. Is really good.
And then once they do get back to like having a relationship, I know I'm all over the place, but when they have their rough time of figuring out who the other is and they are not on good terms, that is when like the other main thing in this plot comes into play with his sister. And I just want to commend Freya and therefore Sloane and how she wrote that. And what a good person Freya is.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
Have stepped into that situation that could have sent her into a PTSD tailspin.
Literally.
And I'm not saying that lightly. That's literally what this could have done to her. But she stepped up to the plate and was just
when she
good,
didn't have to. She could have not been have petty and like right. not even petty. She could have just been like, that's not my place. Could, like yeah, we're in a blow up. Like why like, would we do it? But she has, I agree. She handled it so well, so maturely.
Yes. Reese was out of town and could not help his sister at that time, and so she stepped in and helped, and I was so proud of that little aspect of it. But that storyline continues to go and frustrate you until you're just like, okay, something needs to happen to
literally.
Make this better. But the reason that I read this one was because I was doing a bingo card for Madison's birthday, and we needed a man who likes to eat, you guys. And if you are looking for one, may I recommend Reese Cusera, because that man likes to eat, and he eats well, and he eats at the table. Yeah, literally.
A feast.
A feast. And it is so good. And it's so yummy. Pun not intended, but intended.
But intended.
Just, yes. So good. You get to see them with a dom-sub relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I really, really enjoyed this. And
it was really good.
The conclusion of how they came back together after their little issues that they had. But so yeah, Reese and Freya, I love them. Yes.
I really enjoyed it.
I slid into Sloane's DMs after I read it and was like, so are you a big ACOTAR fan? And she was like, no.
No, I didn't know.
It's just an accident. I'm like, what are the chances?
Literally. Google led her astray or something.
Yeah. And I was, speaking of Madison and her birthday bingo, she said that she did something for them and she called Freya. And someone thought they were talking about Reese and Feyre. So she now has gone back to calling her Mickey. And I was like, I guess I could see that. But she's just Freya in my head and I love her.
Is that what it was? A bingo card that she made of like things she wanted people to read for her birthday?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's so smart.
And one of the bingo squares was men who like to eat.
Oh, that's MMCs so smart.
MMCs who like to eat. So
that I was should one do of that and be like, a book that made you cry for four chapters. A book that made you want to kill yourself. Like, a book that made you sob the whole time. Everyone would be like, this bingo card sucks. But hey, you'd be surprised, folks, how many people slide into my DMs like, I would just really like my soul ripped out. I'm like, let me open my good old Goodreads shelf for you guys and give you something that will destroy you. But that's really smart about the bingo card. I really like that.
Yep. So it's been fun. And she's like, I've slid into her DMs a few times to ask like clarifying questions. She's like, you're taking this very serious. I'm like,
you're very analytical.
Mm-mm-mm. I am. And I'm like, and I'm competitive. So I'm like, there's a game plan. There's a strategy to this. Like, what do you mean? We don't just wing this. This is the thing that I plan for.
I'm going to have to make a bingo card for my birthday. That sounds amazing.
Do it. Yes.
Men Who Crawl, obviously, is on the list.
Duh. All right. What you got next, Father Lib?
One of the best books of all time, like literally. And I don't say that lightly. Possessive Heart by Brighton Walsh. Oh my gosh. Like literally. I think I would grab this book amongst like my original ACOTAR set in a burning fire because that's how much I love Addison McKenzie and Chase. My gosh. You're not gonna get like much hockey in the sense of actual like NHL hockey because he's hurt and he has to go back home. And so you get hockey like with him on his little secret ice like lake thing that eventually becomes a huge part of the story. But this is brother's best friend. Go figure.
What are the chances?
Oh, what are the chances? You would never know from me. But Addison McKenzie is the youngest McKenzie, and she runs the resort. She's the head bitch in charge, as I like to say, the HBIC over there. She keeps all her brothers in line, and she loved Chase. They were in love. Everything was great. And then some shit happens, and it's 10 years, folks. 10 years that they are apart while she's doing her dream, kind of her dream. There shifts a little. He's doing his dream of being in the NHL, following his dream. But then he comes back home and he is literally like, you are everything to me. You're my end all be all. I've told everyone we've been married for 10 years. Like literally, he's like, well, as you know, he's obsessed. And she's not having it. Like she wants it, but she is very much like me where she needs words and actions and someone to like fully understand her. And it does take her a bit of the book to realize that he is exactly what she needs. But man, they're one of my all-time favorite couples as well. Like I truly do love up them there too. With like
and thank
everyone.
God for a snowstorm. I mean,
a snowstorm.
Snowstorms just make everything better.
Thank God for that secret tattoo. That's probably one of the best secret tattoos that there's ever been because it's only a secret from her. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone else knows about it. Thinks that it's really the end all be all, and I can't like get over it. I talk about them a lot. I am very in love with this series in general, Starlight Cove. I made Britt read it because that's how obsessed I am with it. But this is book 6 out of 7.
And I did go rogue with one of my 12 for 12 recs this year.
Did you?
And someone's doing Defiant Heart for me. Yeah.
Oh, yep. The whole series is great. Stephens. Truly.
I gave her the choice of Drive or Defiant Heart.
Yeah.
And she
I'm glad
Defiant
she picked it.
Heart. She did, yeah.
Because that's going to set her up for success for the whole series. Like, it's so good. I can't, like, I don't want to spoil things because this is the one of those books that I'm like, everyone should read it. Even if you just read this one, like, you wouldn't miss out on
You'd
everything
be fine.
Else. Like, you would miss out on great stories, but you would be picking things up perfectly. But there is just something about the way Brighton wrote Addison that I am, like, so her, you know, like, as you know.
Yeah.
It's very much a Father Lib and Mr. Smut Daddy type of relationship because she just has the whole weight of her world on her shoulders and being the youngest and the way her anxiety and her ADD and depression are all betrayed. Besides like seeing like Levi, which is the next book, the last book, where it really touches on like the depression side of life. But this book, Possessive Heart, is absolutely phenomenal. And I want to say it's my favorite secret tattoo, but then you're going to laugh at me. But then Cookie pops in my head and I'm just like, and then I'm like, wait. And then people are like, what do you mean? And that's for another time. But you know what I'm talking about, Sister Britt, is like,
I do.
Cookie pops into my head a lot. As you know, it comes out of my mouth a lot.
Between Cookie and Rose, I never know what's going to come
You're
out
like,
of your
what's going on? But so good. Like I said, there is hockey, but it's like a non-traditional form of hockey, but ends up playing a very large role. Like that's what it kind of all concludes to at the end.
In a Zamboni.
Right. Remember when I was asking about the stick figure drawings?
Yes.
I'm like, yes. How
I
does
remember one... that very vividly.
I'm like, how does one fuck on a Zamboni? And then I was like, drawing stick figures. Like, I think it's like your leg is...
They figured it out, you guys.
They figured it out. And it is. Like, it's done great. It's flawless. They have a piece of my heart forever. Addison and Chase. I truly, truly love them. I want everyone to read that book and that whole series. So everyone should do it.
Do it now.
I feel like Brighton doesn't get enough hype. No. Even, and like she does. You know what I mean? But especially that series. Yeah, all right. What you got?
Okay. Very typical. But she's needed to be portrayed here is pucking around. And this version of it is a coveted
beautiful
version. And she's so pretty with the puck in the back pocket and the tattoo. And just, I love it. So we got Pucking Around by Emily Rath. Don't forget that there's That One Night, which is the pre-novella that comes before it.
I've read this one.
She did it for my birthday.
Just wanted it out there. I'll never let you forget that. I did read it.
She did
and
read
it. And I didn't
it.
Hate it. It wasn't like my favorite, but I did not hate it.
You
I was
enjoyed
ready to,
it, but you didn't love it.
I was ready to go in and be like, I hate you, Brittany. But it was good.
It was good. So we get Rachel, who is on the cover, and she is a doctor, and she is going to Jacksonville for a new job. And she runs into her one-night stand, Jake, from a few months ago that they hooked up in Seattle and didn't exchange names or numbers or anything. Dun, dun, dun. But they both had been thinking about the other for... that
hot.
Time. Very hot. But she gets picked up at the airport when she arrives for her new placement by Caleb. And their meet cute is hilarious because her vibrator falls out and it's in the shape of an octopus tentacle. And he's like, what the fuck is this?
I love that piece of merch you got from the PR box.
Yes.
The like a tentacle pin.
I should have brought the pen down for this. Yes. But so good. He's a dog dad. I'm blanking on the dog's name right now though. Do you remember the dog's
name? Me too.
Name?
No. That's terrible.
Damn it.
But I can't.
That is bad because the dog plays a pretty big role.
A pretty big role. Yeah.
Yeah. But Caleb and Jake are best friends and they are referred to as domestic life partners on the team. Caleb used to play, but he got injured. And so now he is the equipment manager. Jake is on defense. And then we get Ilmari, the goalie.
Wild card.
Wild card. He gets thrown into the mix. And this, she's a thick girl, you guys. She is very... She's a commitment. She's a thick girl, but it's because there are like literally two books taking place in this one book. And to see them all come together as the four of them in their relationship was just fun and special.
It was.
And I really enjoyed them. You get the bioawakening journey with Jake. You get
they all have their place within it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel forced. It all just feels like they fall into their roles naturally.
And it's not like they're instantly all four together. Like it very naturally progresses from one to two to three, you know. So like it works really well. And I loved this book. I read it really early on too.
Yeah, you did.
My contemporary romance. And it's just, it has stuck with me. And
are you going to do a reread of it this year? Or is there other things that are just taking higher place? Not that you don't love it. It's not, just...
Yeah, I still love it. But I don't have a plan to reread it.
Have you ever done the audio or you just eyeball read it?
Yes. No, I've done both. So I have already done a reread with the audio. Which
the audio's
is great.
Good. That's
I
how I did
the
it.
Audio. Yeah.
That's how, but that's how I knew it was still a thick girls. Because like I listened to it so fast. Like things at a higher speed. So then when it was still like long.
Lengthy.
Was,
yeah.
Not that it was too long. But I was like, oh, she's thick.
But I am excited for the next Pucking Ever After, the novellas that come out afterwards, because Emily always does it where you get the previous couples up until, it's not just for that couple that just finished, so like, or not even couples, because this is a poly relationship, and the last one that just came out, Pucking Sweet, was also MMF, so a throuple. But I am excited to continue to get more of Rachel, Jake, Caleb, and Ilmari.
Who's your favorite?
Ilmari's my favorite.
Who's your favorite? My favorite. I'm like, who's my favorite? You know.
Caleb's your favorite.
Duh! I love Caleb.
But here's the thing. I do love Jake. Jake is one of those retrievers that I do enjoy, and I like him. And I almost felt like, in a sense, like a loyalty to him first, just because of that one night and the connection that they formed and stuff. But then it made sense that everyone else came and joined the relationship too. But he's not my favorite. Ilmari's my favorite. I love the big Finnish. Is that what you would call him?
Yeah.
Someone from Finland is Finnish, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Finn. She has a sticker called the Finny Bear, and my oldest is called Finnegan. His name's Finnegan, so I call him Finny. So I'm like, it's just kind of...
It just all made sense.
But all made sense. But what's fun about this, though, is as the, like... Pucky Never After novellas continue, the dynamic of this poly relationship changes too. So that's fun to see that happening, and they're always growing and changing, and I love that for them. So.
So good.
Yep, that's what I got. Lib, what's next for you?
Oh, Slapshot Surprise by Melanie Harlow. It's the last book in the Small Town series. What is that called? Fairy Tree Harbor. And it is Mabel and Joe, and so it's nerdy girl, like shy nerdy girl, like ex-hockey player, and
I love the name Mabel. Can I just say that?
I do too.
I know it's old-fashioned, but I think it's adorable.
I love it. I want it to come back because I do love it. They meet, have a one-night stand, and that one-night stand turns into an accidental pregnancy, but they were friends. So it's like a friends to lovers, one-night stand, accidental pregnancy, and then they realize that, shit, this is going to be really hard because he's actively traveling. He's actively playing hockey, and she is in Cherry Tree Harbor. That is where her life is, her family is, and they do the long distance thing, and I know that can be hard, but it is done flawlessly.
I've read a long distance.
Oh yes, and it's done so good because they're communicating, but it does a really good job of describing how much they're struggling, because he wants to be there for her and all of these first, and she has her family, but she wants to lean on him, and they do the long distance thing, then they realize it isn't working, so then a big like aha moment kind of comes into play. It's really good. I really, really, really liked it. Melanie Harlow is a fantastic writer. I love everything she writes. But this one was really good because I don't know, I always have a soft spot for like the nerdy book reading, like quiet girl, even though that's not always me, but it was a lot of the time. And he's so like out there, like in his hockey persona, and he's very famous, and he's like the star on the team. So it's great. And I haven't read that many books where they do long distance when they're like, one of them's like not cheating or being an asshole, honestly.
Yeah.
So this one was great. I love it, love it, love it. The whole series is really good. But this one was honestly kind of a surprise because like sometimes it's not like series don't, like I normally don't read series that do end on low notes, but like sometimes you know like your favorite is a book three or book four, but this one was really good and it wrapped up everything really well. It was done in a way where I feel like we could potentially get another second gen, maybe in the future if she wanted to. Like, I feel like it's left open for that.
I've still have only done that one second gen, Cloverleaf Farms second gen.
Yeah. Yeah, because I had you start your year. Yeah, because I was made you read Ignite because I was like, this is hilarious. Firefighter, but so good. Truly, it's really good. She's really good at doing funny stuff, but also mixing in like the serious, heavy topics. And it's a surprise pregnancy, accidental pregnancy that like you would enjoy. You know what I mean? It's not like it's some crazy, like we're hiding it and everything. It's like they just are making it work while he's playing. I mean, he's contracted to play and travel. So really good. Really enjoy it. And it's not too heavy on hockey, even though it is like long distance and stuff. I feel like it's still like, obviously it's a hockey book, but it's like one of the good stepping stones. Like if you weren't sure yet, if you wanted to really dive into a heavy hockey book, you could read this series. And when you get to this, it would be a good place to start. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus it's small town. And who doesn't love freaking small town?
Small town is so good.
All right, what is your last one?
All right, my last one is The Penalty Box by Odette Stone. And I read this series. What is the name of the series, though? Hold on. A Vancouver Wolves hockey romance.
Oh, okay.
So we're up in Canada again. But this is book three. And it is one of those books that I was sold on a Bookstagram reel.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a quote about him being in the pantry and
we love.
I think he crawls to her, Libby. It's just now coming into my brain that he crawls.
You're lying.
Yes, I'm not making this up.
I will read it like immediately. That one I have not read. He crawls to her. Stop.
Add in the pantry.
I'm moving my whole life around. Can I dive into just that book? I hardly ever do it, but
yeah. Oh yeah.
I might have to do it for that.
Micah and Charlie. Yeah, you can dive right into them. And his Russian mother and her best friend are like outside.
I'm sold.
And his mom is like, I need a cigarette after that.
Literally, I'm sold. I am sold. Stop.
But she is like an assistant at the PR agency and he's needing like an image redo. And so it's a fake marriage. And it is just...
This book was literally made for me.
Yeah. And there is a little bit of suspense in it too now that I'm thinking about it too.
I have...
It's like a Libby Coden book.
How have I never read this? I've never... I've seen the name like once. Like I just think it like fell through the gaps of my radar. I'm moving everything around to read this. Is it on audio?
It's on my Audible.
Okay. I'm like, please resend... I have probably been a long time since I've logged in. So please resend me your Audible stuff. Yeah, folks, get yourself a best friend that you can share your Audible account with because that makes the credit go that much further.
It does.
I'm literally moving all kinds of things around to get
now
to
I'm
this book.
Do I have time to do a reread of it?
Yeah, I'm like, should we do it together? Because that sounds awesome. Oh my gosh.
Buddy read. But it's so good. I feel like I'm blanking on all the other little details. But
that's enough to sell it for all of us.
It makes me happy. I love this one. The whole series is good. Book one is Coach's daughter. Book two is like a girl that's homeless and down on out and gets with a hockey player and they become roommates. This is obviously book three. And then book four is a reverse age gap. I thought of that earlier when you mentioned it, that the fourth book and last one is a reverse age gap.
I need to read this series. I need to read that book.
But you could definitely dive into this.
I think I'm going to break my own unwritten rule.
Yeah.
And dive on in.
I'm going to encourage that as well.
I'm like, I think it was made for me, honestly. Every time you brought up a new trope, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Do they know Father Lib exists?
I saved the reel and I will sometimes just go back and watch it again.
Because that's how good it was? We love it.
It's like a short, like...
Send it to me and I could post it to the podcast story so everyone can see it.
You guys can tell me if you would have been sold or not. Yes. Too, but I was just like... Yep, that did it. I will read that book now, and I love
it. Wow, what a high note to end on for you. I'm sold. Yes. I am absolutely sold.
It was like
sold.
An epiphany moment. I'm like, holy shitballs, this right? happens.
Sometimes it takes a random moment to be like, that does happen in this. Like, that's how it was with Holding the Reins. I was like, I've read this before, but now my brain is seeing it. Like, it's actually happening in front of my eyes. Do you think that's the first book you read that had crawling in it?
1,000%, yes. There's no question asked.
I am so sold. What a good one to end on for you. Oh, my gosh.
What are you ending on?
I'm ending on one that no one is going to be shocked by, but I will forever shout it from the rooftop as it is one of my top three all-time favorite books of literal all time, which is Until I Get You. By Claire Contreras. I don't even know what to say that I've never said before. So this is your first time tuning in and you're like, what the fuck is that? Let me tell you, folks. Ella and Lachlan Duke are absolutely enemies to lovers. He is the college star hockey player, but don't let that get in your way because they're only in college for the first half of the book. Lila, our girl, is dealing with some stuff. She has had a stalker. She has been sexually assaulted. She has a really hard home life, but she's trying to keep pushing through college and just trying to honestly like be a wallflower, fade into the crowd. So that's how like their meet cute happens, is she tells her friend she will go to this party to watch her. Like, she doesn't drink anymore. She doesn't do anything as she's afraid of something happen to her again. And she wears like really oversized baggy clothes to deter men from talking to her since she's drop dead gorgeous. And she stands on this place on a wall, and Lachlan is just a little shit and is like, that's my spot. And she's like, you bought a whole fucking wall. Like, the banter starts immediately of like, you have a designated place on the wall. She wants nothing to do with him. He wants absolutely everything to do with her because he's tired of girls throwing themselves at him. Slowly, he starts like making his way into her web. They become incredible, like, lovers. Like, it's a like truly one of those like beautiful, like, he's helping her like keep growing, but she's also still dealing with this stalker, okay? And this is one of the best whodunits I have ever read, folks. If you know anything about me, you know that whodunits are my favorite thing ever. And this is the very first one I ever got that was wrong. So you're like dealing with all these parts. She knows who her stalker is, but Claire does a fantastic job of when we're in her chapters of not letting like us know. And then something terrible happens at the end of part one, which is halfway through the book. And then we literally wake up after this terrible incident and there's a plan set in place and it skips to the future where years have passed. He has made his hockey debut. She is like graduated as well. She's working and he goes publicly like live and then after like hockey report and after telling no one and says like, I'm retired. And he looks dead at the camera and says, and I'm coming for you. And boy, does he come for her because his dad is very powerful. He's had his eyes on hers for a while. She's not as low key as she thought. And then they have to like start reworking on this friendship, but it's not like friendship, you know, it's just mm-hmm. the loyalty of their relationship. All while this stalker then finds her again. Like, she had a couple years of reprieve, but then because he's so publicly famous, you know, her photo gets out and it all happens again. And I swear you guys will never see it coming. Like, I like to really pride myself on like, yeah, I figured out the Throne of Grass riddle and what Nameless is my price in book one, folks. Okay. You don't get the answer till book eight. I got it in book one. I did not see this one coming at all. And then it was one of those books where I literally finished it and I immediately started it over again. I mean, like, without hesitation. Because
oh,
I was
I
like,
love that.
How did I miss the signs? I was very much like,
did
what
you
do
pick
you
up on it the second time? Like, now that you knew, did
yes,
you see it?
The teeny little things that she laid. And it's not like she was pulling one over on us like Claire. It was perfectly planned out. Like, genuinely one of the best whodunit mysteries I have ever read. And I love this book. I know some people get worried about college reads like we talked mm-hmm. about, but the college part is done flawlessly, sets up their story, and it's complete. It's like two timelines. Yes, it's both their timelines, but we get the first half where they're in college and then the second half where they're older. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Literally top three books I have ever read, which is a hard title to get
for
me. And it's never been taken off. Like, even when I have read so many other things, like, you know, I've read over 1,000 books by now for sure. And that one is still up there. It is the very first one on my rereads list. I thought it was going to be Rena Kent and it's not. It's going to be not. Until I Get You because it's so good. You need to read it this year.
I know.
You have to get to it this year.
It is a priority for 2025.
Because I need to know if you're going to get it right. Like, not that I'm like hoping you get it wrong. I just like want people to read it to be like, isn't that so like incredibly done? Like,
yeah.
I've met like two people literally that have gotten it right. And I just think that that is a testament to how damn good Claire's writing is.
I am not going to get it right, you guys, but I will try.
It is so, so good. Like, and it does have hockey in it because his hockey schedule and stuff plays a big part, like, in the first half. Then obviously you get to him, like, retiring in the second half, but I still count it very much as a hockey book.
Heck
because
yeah.
The whole first thing is laid because of this college experience. It's so good. I want to shut the computer off right now and go reread it. And I have to be strong. I cannot do that. I have things to do. And I also need to go to bed.
And go to sleep.
But that is where I leave you guys. I think we ended on bangers.
We did.
I can't wait to read that. I'm not kidding. I can't wait to read
now
that.
Now I'm questioning if he does actually crawl, you guys. I'm super anyway, nervous that he doesn't. But
either way, I mean, coming out of the pantry.
I still stand by it.
Oh, yeah. I want to read it. I want to read it. I want you to read this. So good.
It's
I'm
you
like,
guys.
Hockey is just it. And it's hockey season still in my brain. When people are like, football, I'm like, hockey. So great. I honestly have no idea where we're at in our filming schedule. I was going to give you guys a teaser for what's coming next week, but I can't remember because pregnancy brain. So that's what we're going to leave you. I feel like we still did good with the rapid fire since we each had like 10 recs. I mean, yeah. That's a lot of books coming at you guys, but something for everybody, whether it's small town hockey, barely any hockey, boy hockey, why choose hockey, Kirk hockey, what
college,
fucking more do you, I'm like, I what mean, more do you guys want from us with our hockey recs?
We got the whole gambit of hockey.
Literally, I think we covered everything. There is a hockey book out there for everybody. So, yes. And if you read all of these and need more, you can definitely slide into the podcast inbox or one of our inboxes, because trust me, we've read
there were more.
I'm like, there were more, but we just had to pick some of our tops. So I think that's great. Until next time, I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt.
And that's all she wrote. Go pick up a freaking hockey book, okay?
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Bye, guys.
Bye.